Three, two, and one. All right, Dieter and Hutch, we're here at 49ers rookie mini camp. God bless us. God bless everyone for doing such a terrible, no good thing. And Jake, I'm not gonna lie to you, I had a pretty good time.
I did too. There were a lot of complaints about the fact that we were here, not from us, but just in general.
This is unequivocally our shit.
I love it. We just got to watch like the interior offensive line, just a bunch of beefy boys. Like what I saw to Drake Nugent.
Yes, we did.
Jarrett Kingston, Dominic Punu's kind of as we expected.
There's something there.
I kind of think Isaac Alarcon could be good in 3 years.
Yeah.
He looked like a tight end or a defensive end, depending on how you see it.
Get him on that good American diet, beef him up a little bit. Yeah. I think you stand a chance.
He's more athletic than Alfredo Gutierrez was.
Well, let's go through the guys that people want to talk about, and then we can talk about the guys that they don't know about, as, of course, we're at Levi's Stadium, which means that we're right in the line of
planes.
Air travel.
It's all good.
All right, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Number one overall pick for the 49ers. I didn't see anything to make me worry.
Nothing changed. That's exactly what I thought.
Boy, sudden.
Yeah, I mean, again, the only thing with him is, like, going to be strength and whether he can play through contact.
Well, and that kind of leads me to the second-round pick with Renardo Green, who I thought locked him up a couple times. And
that guy can jam. That guy can press.
Like, and he knows where to put his hands. I thought that was a really interesting development. Like,
I will say Pearsall beat him.
Oh, yeah. He got his licks in.
Yeah, he faked him out, and then I think it was a sluggo, and he just beat him deep. But it was, like, really fun. Like, I can't wait to watch that. I think they're training Renardo Green at nickel.
Did you see him at nickel at all today?
Nick Sorensen said he
was going to.
He played close to line of scrimmage. The way we interpreted what Nick Sorensen, who we talked to for the first time today.
Shadow defensive coordinator.
The way I think have both interpreted it is that basically, they're not certain who their nickel, besides Diamond or Lenore, will be. And maybe they'll say Lenore should do the thing where he plays nickel, and then he'll...
The outside-inside thing?
Yeah. But
which I hate.
I don't like it either. I think he should just stay at nickel. He's fantastic there, and I think they do have better options outside.
Yeah.
But the way we interpret it is, like, Green needs to learn how to play nickel. He already knows how to play outside corner.
Mm-hmm.
So you train him now on how to play nickel, and if it sticks, then you have a guy who could slot inside if Lenore gets hurt.
I mean, they did sign Chase Lucas.
Right.
Thought he was supposed to be a slot corner, nickel, whatever.
I think it's more of a let's, like, see what his versatility is or if he's just outside. But I'm with you. I think Renardo Green's an outside corner. I think Lenore is better on the inside. And I think, realistically, that's how he'll keep it.
I think Renardo Green is not just an outside corner. I think he has a chance to be really good really soon. Again, we're just watching a bunch. I mean, half of the guys, if not more, out there.
Right. And it's
no
only
business.
Seven. It's only seven on sevens.
Yeah,
too.
No business being on an NFL field. Like, not to, the Niners just brought in dudes, and they want to see what happens. One of the guys that they brought in, they wanted to see what happened. This kid Patrick out of Southern Utah, Timothy Patrick. Tim Patrick is a wide receiver in the NFL, is he not?
Yes.
Out of Utah?
I don't know if he's out of Utah.
He plays for the Broncos?
Yes.
Pretty sure he went to Utah.
That sounds right.
So this is the other Timothy Patrick. Timothy from Southern Utah, which I believe is in St. George, Utah. So basically Arizona.
It was great. He had no gloves. He was awesome.
I thought he was really good.
He was fun.
He also got cramped up, which kind of sucks for him.
Yeah. Another guy puked a lot.
Yeah. A couple times. Like, right in front of us.
Power through it.
You got to respect it. You know, and then he dogged it for the rest of practice. We're not going to name him because there's no reason to be mean.
To be fair, I would also vomit.
Oh, yeah.
I would projectile vomit if I went out there. So I'm not shaming anyone. Just what happened.
All right. Third round pick, Dominic Punu out of Kansas.
Yep.
He was pretty much everything I thought he was, and I wasn't high on the pick in general.
I was pretty lukewarm on it.
Yeah. He still takes too many steps. When he gets his hands on you, you've gotten which is impressive.
He's got NFL quality. Yeah.
But I'm concerned about his mobility skills. He's also kind of weirdly shaped. I don't know how to put that. Like, not in like he doesn't have an NFL body. It's for a man who is unquestionably large. He has kind of narrow shoulders, but really big arms, and then kind of skinny legs.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe that's a benefit. Maybe that's something. He does look lighter than he is.
You compared him to McKivitz, which I think is about right. Like, he does seem like he can He seems much more of a guard than Mikivitz, which is where he's going to play.
I mean, a lot of people still think Mikivitz is a guard.
Right. I mean, I think
Cooney, he's swing tackle, guard. Yeah. I think he'll compete for guard.
Yep.
I thought Kingston, the sixth-round pick out of USC, was a much better player today in these drills, which are, of course, everything.
Yeah.
And I thought Kingston looked really great.
Drake Nugent, though.
Let's talk about our boy, because I want to plant a flag right here and now for anybody out there. There's a lot of 49ers podcasts. We're technically not even one anymore.
By the way, this is the launch of Dieter and Hutch.
Yeah, which
which we forgot to mention.
What an incredible debut. Yeah. No, we're just going to do it shittier this time with one microphone awkwardly held between us.
I was going to ask.
We were going to do two, but then if you're holding the other microphone and it doesn't work, then it's gonna sound weird, because then this microphone's here and I could do this. We could do this. Then we're doing a stand up.
Then it's uncomfortable for everybody.
Mainly me.
It's already there.
Regardless. The Nuge is a stallion. I'm in awe of the Nuge. This guy's got it.
I can't wait until, because him and Evan Anderson at FAU.
The meatball.
Yeah. So it's going to be
the real sickos know about the meatball.
It's going to be two bowling balls, because Nugent's a guy to me like Jackson Powers Johnson, who is trying to move to guard for the Raiders. I don't see it. I think he's a center, squatty. Nugent is a similar frame to me. He's got like a big belly, but he's muscled up, and he can
looks
move.
I get in trouble for my overarching comps. They're always a bit too aggressive.
Right.
I would like to say that apparently Daniel Jeremiah is a subscriber to the show. Daniel Jeremiah, shout out. because when I watched NFL Network, all the same comps, just every one of them. All of my ridiculous outside, just like, that's a top player in the league. Like, all of those comps, he popped them on. So here we go. The Nuge reminds me a lot of Jason Kelce.
Ooh, yeah.
He's got the same shape. Like, not humanoid.
Right.
Kind of Oompa Loompa-y.
He's like, it's weird because it's like he's so wide and stout, but it's like all muscle.
All muscle.
Like,
this dude wrecked in high school wrestling. I don't even know if he did it, but you know he did. I got to look that up. The Nuge, captain at Stanford, went to Michigan. I don't know what else we need to say. Like, this guy is going to be the starting center for the 49ers.
I think that was my like long shot hot shot prediction. Is that like second half of the year I could see him, because the 49ers, they ask so much of their centers.
Yeah,
I just think they're going to trust Jake Brendel because he gets the job done.
He's got that sweet short shuttle.
Right, like he's athletic. He's not like at a star center, but like he does what he has to do.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's the problem on that offensive line. I don't think he's like raises the level of the offensive line.
You could do a whole lot worse.
I think the problem was that the right guard spot was so weak. And it's not so much that Burford doesn't have potential or
They don't
but
seem to like him very much. I don't know how
they added a lot.
And then they stopped liking him.
Yep.
So that tells me something. And then they got a bunch of guys who could theoretically replace him.
This is the most excited I've ever been about an offensive line group they have. I think they got a lot of athletes. They got a lot of guys who can either play center or guard.
Yeah.
And I think they might keep, like, a bunch of them.
They should. There's no reason not to.
Unless, they think they can't make it to the practice. Unless they think they can get them to the practice squad. But I think there's at least a handful of these guys that are
We might
really
have just
intriguing.
Ruined Drake Nugent getting to the practice squad. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're real movers and shakers out here.
Listen, every time you watch the draft, what's the first? It's like, God damn, do they watch the show?
Right.
Okay, a couple of other guys I want to go over. I thought Jacob Cowing was fine.
Yeah.
Again,
he did what we expected to do.
Exactly. Like, he has five things that he does very well, and everything else, don't ask him
to do. Drags, little quick outs.
Oh, yeah.
But he wins on those, and he's got really good hands. Maybe returning punts.
Do not have him returning punts.
Well, maybe it'll take time.
He was trying to catch a punt, and Jake, if you would hold this, please, for all of our viewing audience, he was trying to catch punts like this. Which seems inadvisable.
It's not what you're supposed to do.
And they ended up putting towels under his arms to make him stop doing that. So he's not a punt returner.
Maybe.
Probably not we'll a kick see. Returner either.
We'll see.
Slick Boy Rick looked pretty good in those, though.
First practice.
Malik Mustafa. Everything we ever thought he'd be in more.
I didn't get a chance to see too much of him, but he moves well.
Whew.
And I can't wait to see him hit somebody because
it's going
to
be a problem. It's going to be a problem
it's
at training
be a wallop.
camp. It's it, he is He is
like
muscle.
Him and Jair Brown.
He is muscle.
That's like, it's such a fun safety group. Like, as much as like I've criticized Talanoa Hufanga's coverage skills, and I love Hufanga as a person.
He brings the
And he's also like so good in the box, like around the line of scrimmage.
Just let him play Sam linebacker.
Yeah, like he, and they missed it, and they missed his like blitzing
yeah.
prowess.
Yeah.
But that's a fun safety group. It's a really fun safety group.
My concern with safeties is always, especially if you're going to bank on two young guys, because Hufanga, yeah. you know what he is. He's not someone who like sees the field. He's just a playmaker.
Right.
Which is an extremely positive quality. No one's arguing that. But like, also the last person perhaps on the entire roster I'd want in a one-on-one situation against somebody in the slot. So there's that, as we saw. But my concern with young safeties, Jair Brown, who I'm very high on, that's well yep. on the record. And then Mustafa's your dude. He's everybody's dude now. Like, the praise yeah. for Mustafa's off the charts around here.
Yep.
They are children. I know that Mustafa's right. like 24, but like, they're baby children.
Right.
And I mean, that's NFL that, quarterbacks.
Right. That is the thing, though. They did draft guys who none of them are like they yeah. were all year. Mustafa's the only guy that wasn't a fifth year. I think he was a 4-year guy.
It's true.
So that's, I don't know.
But he didn't redshirt.
Right. Right.
So you got it, guys. You know, this is a Bob Fitzgerald class. A lot of 4-year college players.
Right.
Which you need.
Know the game.
You need that if you are a team like the 49ers and you need to reestablish depth immediately.
Right.
Okay. Let's just go over a couple other guys here. The running backs, Garendo, and yep.
Cody Schrader.
And Cody Schrader.
Cody Schrader. I mean, just he knows what he's doing. Like he moves, and he's quicker than like. It's weird. His testing was so bad, but when you watch his tape, like. You see,
you
like,
don't need to tell me, buddy.
You see some limitations, but like, man, he knows what he's doing as a running back. He can move.
He's
like,
awesome.
He's way quicker than he tested.
Yeah.
I just think he's maybe he might be a practice squad guy, but I think there's a real chance for him to make the roster.
I think they're going to have right. a hell of a time getting him to the practice squad because you
Agreed.
Know he's going to blow up
Agreed.
In preseason.
And Garendo, man, like Garendo's a guy where, again, we have a lot of questions about. He didn't produce that much. He has a lot of questions of like how to actually play the position.
Yes.
But there was one play where he, I think it was a short, it was like a Texas route or something over the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And he got it. And he just, the way, Ooh. Like, it was like, you know, if you ever watch like motocross, I was given this comp.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier,
he got
where,
low.
Where they get side to side.
Dragging that knee.
He like, his balance and ability to cut while like maintaining speed was super impressive. It's, yeah.
He's Raheem Mostert 2.0. He might even have a little more left-right wiggle than yep. Raheem, but his straight-line speed is incredible. I'm not convinced on his hands. I think a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to be a great catcher, great catcher of the football. I think we're all pretty spoiled.
He needs a
when
lot of rounding around the edges. I mean, he was recruited as a receiver.
Yeah, and I can see why they moved him to running back. He's on the team, though. Like, there's yep. just he's too good an athlete. And, like, the quality is high enough.
Yeah, I do wonder if he to me, feels like their kicker turner. Like
that'd be interesting. I didn't see him do anything like that today.
Yeah, I don't know if they – I don't think they did any kick return stuff.
Yeah.
But I, to me, just – I think they talked about that a little bit during the draft.
Yeah.
He's got the speed and the way that the kick return is going to go where you do get guys to, like, get a running head start
yeah,
on
yeah.
the return. Like, he just makes too much sense to me as their kick returner.
I think Schrader has a chance to be – RB1 if I'm biased, but like he's so good. He's so good
yep.
and he's well rounded and you're talking one cut and go, like you were just saying with Guerrero, like if Garendo, if he had the rounding, if the game was comprehensive
yeah.
and you saw it, like he wouldn't have been there.
Right.
He wouldn't have been there. He would have been
an early
second-round pick.
Yeah, like if he was that well-rounded, he would go in the first.
Right, with that kind of speed.
Right.
But he's a fourth, and, like, you don't need that much as a well-rounded back. But,
right.
like, Schrader's a really well-rounded back, and is he elite at anything? I don't think so. I don't think it fucking
right.
matters.
You know who I compare him to? Juwan Jennings. Jennings tested pretty bad. But you watch his tape and you go, this guy kind of catches everything.
Yeah.
He somehow separates.
Best player
though,
on the field.
Right. He just made plays. And Schrader's a guy who just makes plays.
Again, you don't need to tell me.
Like when you're betting on a guy, especially late or undrafted, you've either got to have like some sort of athleticism that you can go, holy shit,
yeah,
we got to just take a swing on this, or a guy whose production was like, and tape is just so good that you're like, I think it's going to translate even though he doesn't have the measurables.
Well, if you wanted a tape of any player in college football last year, and I'm talking quarterback, anybody, the best tape that anyone put out was Cody Schrader.
Yep.
So the fact that no one even decided in the seventh round, let's take a flyer, was kind of preposterous.
Yeah.
Just because, again, what more did you need to see? He was the best running back in the SEC.
He's also like stout, like one of those guys that's going to be pretty hard to tackle.
Yeah.
Just because he's like so, like you.
As evidenced.
Right. He's just physical.
He wasn't at South Dakota State going up against FCS. This guy was the best running back in the SEC, and he looks the part out here.
Yep.
Again, he's probably running back three, but I think we're heading into a world where both J.P. Mason and Elijah Mitchell don't have jobs.
I think at least one of them is going to keep it, maybe both. I think they're going to take
the job. Does he really have it?
Right.
Oh, I think we're going to keep him around so that we can put him on IR in week two.
That's usually how it goes.
They will have to get really creative with the practice squad, or they're going to have to hide him in preseason with Schrader. Because Garendo, obviously, you don't have to worry about it. He's a
draft pick. I don't know if you can even hide Schrader. He had so much college production. Like,
I'm stunned he's here. Because it didn't sound like they gave him the biggest.
It's also
guarantee.
Like, maybe he's like the Kyle Juszczyk backup. You know, like
that was a Larry Kruger suggestion
for Garendo, though.
Mm.
But like Schrader is like a fullback is kind of interesting. He's got some receiving. He's got pretty good hands. Like,
yeah.
I'm just trying to find
big enough.
I don't think he is either, but.
Let's talk about a tight end. Let's talk about the kid out of Furman, Mason Plyne. I see it.
I think he makes the roster.
I think he's there.
I think he's.
I think you make the argument he's probably the second best tight end on the team. It's a very low bar.
And when we talked about Cam Latu last year, and I was like, listen, not very high on him, but he's competing with Charlie Warner and Ross Dwelly. How hard could it be to make a roster?
Shouldn't have been
apparently,
that hard.
Apparently very hard.
Yeah.
Mason Plyne went to Furman, was a basketball player. The whole idea, by the way, real quick tangent on the debate.
Do it.
Of where people like
y'all almost y'all need hobbies.
NBA players who could they make the NFL? Yeah, most could. Like, here's the thing. People are doing this thing like, oh, would they take a hit over the middle? It's like, we're not talking about every NBA player becoming a wide receiver. Like, maybe someone would get gutted over the knees and it would take time. Like, and they bring up Draymond Green having that one bad practice in Michigan State, where he played tight end and looked lost. And to be fair, you know, whatever. But Draymond
Green's a defensive tackle. Come on now.
Right. And also his first practice, doesn't know what's going on. It's going to take a little time to learn. That said, the athleticism, like, you can't tell me that, like, a power forward couldn't learn to be a blocking tight end.
You certainly can't because the Kansas City Chiefs do it every 5 years.
Right. Like, I'm just telling you, like, NBA players are the best athletes in the world. They're incredibly coordinated. And I'm not saying there aren't, like, a few NFL players who could
maybe. I don't want Chris
Deft
Porzingis out here, but, you know.
Right. Like, there is, like, a thing of being too tall and then you're too, like Wemby's not making it in the NBA.
It'd be fun to see.
It would be fun until he got destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, it's not going to work for everybody, but, like, power forward, you know, like.
You tell me Aaron Gordon can't play tight end?
Right.
You tell me Aaron Gordon can't play tight end?
Right. Like, people are making it about wide receivers going over the middle, and it's like, that's not.
We gentrified the middle of the field. You can walk.
Right.
You can walk there.
Right.
Ricky Pearsall was a first-round draft pick. If we were that concerned about that
right.
sort of
it's
stuff.
It's also like.
You're trying to make everyone Deebo Samuel.
Also
there's
like,
one Deebo Samuel.
Which sport would you go to? You're going to make more money. You're going to have a longer career in the NBA. Like, it's just more lucrative.
It's cooler.
It's harder because there's less spots. And it's incredibly competitive, and the numbers for contracts are insane. Like, you wouldn't choose the NFL by choice if you could have made the NBA.
No. You choose it over baseball.
Oh, for sure.
Kyler Murray. Right. Okay, one other guy I want to mention.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Plyne.
Oh, no, I think Plyne looked good.
I think he looked good.
Now, mind you, he was being compared to two guys who had no reason to be out here. So
fair.
We'll leave it at that. Here's a guy I liked. Random. Might never mention his name again in any capacity regarding football whatsoever. Isaiah Avery, cornerback out of Portland State. I liked him.
He pressed Ricky Pearsall and forced an incompletion.
I thought he had multiple good reps. And then, there's one more guy that we were told was pretty good. We didn't get a great look at the defense, but Shackle Brown, a defensive lineman out of Troy, was here on a tryout and apparently was kicking ass. Talking about them Trojans. Let's go over the ridiculous names on this list, Jake.
Yeah, there's one in particular that's insane to me.
Is that name Mosiah Nasal Kite?
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, can we also mention that the quarterbacks sucked today?
Not great quarterback play. Ricky Pearsall won. Oh, my God. He won on, like, I don't know if it was just a straight go. He must have stopped because he beat somebody
something.
So bad. But he won by truly 10 yards over anyone near him.
And was missed by 10 yards.
And he got a hand on it over the shoulder, but it was a terrible ball. Like, he could have.
If you were imagining the worst possible place to put the ball on a go route, Pearsall had to turn around and then stretch to his off shoulder.
If you're having Jimmy Garoppolo Super Bowl flashbacks, it was.
Jimmy Garoppolo at least just overthrew it.
Yeah.
It was in the right direction. This one was offline. Tanner Mordecai is not going to be a professional quarterback much longer. Anybody else on this list interest you here, Hutch?
Not really.
We didn't get to see our meatball friend, Evan Anderson.
I want to see Evan Anderson. The 49. One thing I do want to talk about.
Oh, T.O.'s kid ain't making it. So stop asking.
One thing I do want to talk about is we talked to Nick Sorensen.
Yes.
And
the supposed defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers.
And defensive tackle. They talked about the run game, and he's like, he gave pretty short answers when asked about the run game. Essentially, like, we figured out what went wrong, and we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
And
his name was Eric Armstead.
Like, we know. But Armstead
was. Javon Hargrave.
Yeah. But Armstead was, like, one of their better run defenders last year.
For a while. Then teams figured out that you just had to hit him from the side, and he would move.
Right. I just don't know if they have an answer. He talked about Jordan Elliott. I was not impressed with what I saw from Jordan Elliott on tape. There's some moments.
You know who else wasn't?
Who?
Anyone who watched the Cleveland Browns.
He was the least favored defensive tackle in the Browns rotation.
And they had like 40 dudes.
Yeah.
And they drafted like four more.
Yeah, and they were happy he was gone. And I'm not trying to just rip on Jordan Elliott. I just didn't really see it.
We're going to find out.
And they don't really have an answer, defensive tackle. They have two older guys, and Javon Hargrave and Malik Collins.
Yeah.
And then Jordan Elliott. And then it's Kevin Givens, who's not really a run defender. I kind of like Kevin Givens, but he's like a rotational guy.
Kevin Givens is there because you need a Kevin Givens that day.
Right.
And then
so they're betting on Jordan Elliott. And they want to, and it's basically, to me, in the run game, you've missed DJ Jones, right? So the only two guys I think that could possibly fill that role are Kalia Davis, who hasn't been healthy his first 2 years.
Factual.
But who they compared to DJ Jones when they drafted him.
Okay.
And then there's Evan Anderson, who they gave, I think, $280,000 guaranteed, which is like, whatever. It doesn't mean he's going to make the roster, but it means they think he could make the roster.
He's supposed to be a gap. Yeah.
We'll see. I'm not sold. But we'll
see. Football's a weird sport. Defensive tackle might be the weirdest of all the positions in the weird sport. I'd like to think I know what makes a good one.
I'm not sold they have one. I just don't think
on my current rubric, I don't think they have one.
Like,
I might be wrong.
Like, I just don't know. Like, I think they need a nose tackle in their run game who can hold up and not and you not go, Oh God, they're just getting washed out every
Imagine
time.
Imagine
and then and
there
then
was
against
one of those available in free agency whose name was DJ Reader, and you could have just had him for apparently not that much money, like $6 million
a year.
And
like you watch that Lions game where they just double team blocks and they just get to the second level.
Yeah.
And it's like you just need a guy to just stand there and deal with the double team and not get demolished. Like that's what you need, and I don't know that they have that. And that's honestly it's my biggest concern with this team, is defensive tackle.
And it should be. Especially given how wide their sets are on the defensive line. What stood out to me of all the things today, other than Drake Nugent, is if Nick Sorensen was brought in to be the face of the defensive staff, like the public-facing guy, I guess he's good in being uninteresting.
He was pretty to the point.
Doesn't have any juice.
He did a joke that didn't land.
He?
Yeah, he said, I guess you guys don't know about that, to something specific.
Hilarious.
But he didn't. I mean, because Mike McDaniel was hilarious from day one.
And listen, we're not
saying
that.
And it took
that,
time.
But, like,
but
Steve Wilks was up there just being
like,
chippy.
Yeah, you also don't have to be funny. You don't have to be charming to be a good coach.
I didn't find him insightful either.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
He'll grow into it, maybe.
He gave a little bit on certain things, and then other things he didn't really want to get into. We'll see.
I guess he's smart enough to know when to talk and when not to. I mean, I don't – we just met the guy legitimately, yep. Like maybe had one conversation with him before then.
This isn't a criticism. It's just a first impression.
It was just a little – one, they're just totally leaning into shadow government. They're not even pretending it's not happening. I mean, they are trying to obfuscate a little bit when it comes to Cover 3 stuff. We'll see. I mean, you'll find out on the field in a couple months. Hell, a couple days. We got OTAs coming up. How much Cover 3 they want to run versus, you know, playing a modern NFL defense. and not just, you know, being violent and finishing. It's like, oh, wow, fucking groundbreaking stuff there, Nick. Wow, you guys want to tackle and hit? Fucking Niners back on top, baby. But, I found him to be underwhelming at the podium, and I do think there's something to be said for the podium, particularly when you were hired to do the podium, because I don't think there's a world in which Brandon Staley wasn't the first choice to be the right. defensive coordinator, but they also didn't want to hire Brandon Staley, disgraced Chargers head coach. Disgraced only in a football sense.
I think that's why it took so long, right? Because they interviewed all these guys and then were like, it could happen any day, and then it took a couple weeks. And he's like,
I thought they were just waiting on saying Staley, waiting for like a good media day.
That might be the case. It also felt like
they were always going to keep Sorensen because it's not like he was interviewing anywhere else.
And it also felt like they wanted to bring in Staley, but they weren't comfortable with him. He's damaged goods after the way the Chargers went, so like maybe let's not make him the DC. But Sorensen like raved about him and is like, he's taught me a lot. We talked a lot of scheme. I asked him.
It's very holistic, Jake. That was the key word. It's a holistic. Brandon Staley's doing this from a holistic mindset. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I asked him like how much, and I was interested in just what their process is, and he didn't glean anything, but like how much they scout offensive trends. And he did say like,
that's a good question.
They assign coaches projects throughout the offseason to assess offensive trends. He's like, we go through free agents and then we look at our stuff and then we look at around the league, and then once that's over, then we just get into like weird projects. So it's nice to know that they're evaluating that, and I think that's where Staley's the most valuable.
No question.
I think
he was inventing the trends.
Right. I think he understands how defenses should, from like a theoretical schematic standpoint, be attacking offenses and shutting them down, and I think that's where his value is the highest.
Listen, we would have both hired him. We would have taken the PR hit for the day and taken the win long term. The Niners,
it's also the schematic difference. He ran a 3-4, so.
Yeah, and then they went out and signed all of his free agents so they can basically run a 3-4. The other thing, too, is, like, I will say this, and here's a note of positivity, if there's anything to be gleaned. They talked a lot about, or Sorensen particularly, because he's the only one who talked, discussed versatility on defensive backs and linebackers, and hell yeah, that's been a Dieter Kurtenbach since he was 15 years old trope. We're doing it 20 years later. Versatility. I don't give a shit if you can get into the hole and tackle somebody if you are just a dead duck the second that someone runs a pass route on you as a linebacker. There's been a lot of great college linebackers, fewer and fewer with the proliferation of the spread, but like, who's that kid at Arizona, Scooby something, who was like the number one tackler in America? He had like 200 tackles in a season.
Scooby
Wright. Same as Scooby Wright. And he was the best linebacker in America, unquestionably, at Arizona. And like, I think he had 200 tackles in a year. And if you didn't know football or you didn't know the modern game or whatever, you would think this guy's a first-round pick. And he went in the 7th round, I think, to the Browns. It was a whole story. He jumped in the pool and stuff. And then he didn't make the fucking team because – he couldn't go left, right, or backwards.
Right, like linebacker play, it's like you used to be able to just count on some Ohio State guy to be fine.
I mean, the Raiders are doing that, so good luck to them.
And now it's like if you can't flip your hips and run and turn with a guy and maybe cover a tight end or a slot receiver, like, that's not going to work for an off-ball linebacker.
If you can't reasonably take a snap at safety – in an emergency.
Right, safeties and linebackers are just kind
of... It's all the same now, baby.
Right.
I remember Dieter Kurtenbach, essay, eighth grade.
Right. Fred Warner, former safety. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles.
Dre Greenlaw, former safety. Yeah. I'm fascinated to see where this goes in the defensive backfield. Because if we're talking about versatility and we're talking about innovation and flexibility on a defensive side of things, and they're not going to be this strict cover three team like they've hinted that they will be, but maybe that's all smokescreen.
Right.
Then, in fact, you are in a really interesting and fun area because nobody should be able to come up with more interesting ways to utilize players that can play a bunch of different places than Brandon Staley.
Right.
And I do think they might have the personnel in place.
I do too.
And they're going to need it because that defensive line is looking.
I don't mind their edge rushing group.
You like Nick Bosa?
Yes, I do. Hot take.
Bold.
I think Floyd is fine. I think Yetur Gross-Matos can be solid.
They might play Yetur Gross-Matos a little bit more on the inside too.
Yeah, they might get weird with it. Who knows?
If the only thing that comes out of this 49ers season is they got weird with it on defense, I'll consider it a success.
It's great.
Don't look at the win-loss record.
Yeah.
Don't put that in the paper. All right.
Anything else?
No.
I think that's it.
Let's get two microphones working next time. My left arm hurts like fuck.
This is the first episode. First episode, not.
Well, it's like the 170th episode.
Right.
Well, we rebranded because you know what? I want to be able to talk shit on the Giants.
Right. I also want to be able to talk about the Mets, you know, occasionally.
Thanks for the sell job there, Jake.
And the Knicks. The Knicks. The Knicks.
Go New York, New York, go.
The Knicks are going to crumble, and it's going to hurt me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. But I had these few games. I have these Jalen Brunson games, and that's what matters, folks. Thank you for joining us on whatever this was.
Bye.
As usual.